I'm Darren Levy, and this is Citywide, airing every Tuesday evening from 7:30 to 8 p.m. right here on WNYU 89.1 FM New York and WNYU.org New York University Radio. Citywide features insight from some of New York's most innovative artists. Today we are talking with Justin Dyke. He is a Flash animator who is the creator of CartoonSmart.com. CartoonSmart is a collection of online tutorials that teach you the program Flash. And now here to talk with us is Justin. Thank you very much for joining us here on Citywide.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Let's begin by having you tell us about CartoonSmart.
Okay. Well, the primary focus of the website is to sell tutorials. And I have everything from animation tutorials, illustration, game making, but most of them are primarily about Flash. So there's only one oddball on the website. I have a Dreamweaver tutorial, which is just sort of about standard HTML, but everything else is kind of the exciting world of, well, I was about to say Macromedia Flash, but now it's Adobe Flash, so they just took over that company.
Hmm. So for our listeners who don't know, could you talk a little bit about what Flash is?
Yes. Basically, all the cool stuff you see on the internet, all the animation and all that, that's the Flash plugin playing for you. If you see something kind of exciting and you go, that image is moving, or that, you know, that frog just opened up his mouth, or now he's croaking, that's usually some sort of Flash thing in there. So it's been, you know, picking up for, well, probably 10 years now. The plugin's been pre-installed in every browser, I think, since about 2000. So we're in good shape for, you know, it not going away. It's not a passing fad. Although, you know, it's weird. Somebody sent this to me in an email earlier this week. It was a link where some woman had taken a poll of, like, I don't know, 100 adults and, like, 100 high school kids. And the top of the headline said 75% of people don't like Flash. So you read through this article, she goes, yeah, I polled all these adults, and I showed them two websites. You know, one had a Flash intro, and one was just standard HTML. And 75% of the adults didn't like it. And 65% of the high school students didn't like the Flash intro. So I'm going, nah, that sounds a little weird. So I read down the article, and finally she's posted up the two links that she showed people, and one of them is this beautiful-looking HTML website, and then the Flash intro comes on with obnoxious music. It's like, and, you know, the sound is compressed, but it had, like, a lot of bass, so that just crackled right out. And then, it was just this strobe light, just had words, all this stuff. So, of course, it was like, I ended up being surprised that 25% of adults liked it, and whatever, 35% of high school students actually liked it. So that was the shocker right there. That in itself is, it's like 100% of people don't like getting kicked in the head. Oh, no kidding.
Well, I know that there's another program that also does animation, Java. Can you talk about the differences between Java and Flash?
You know what? I'm no Java expert, but every time it loads up in my computer, I sort of feel like I get this little Java thing, like an applet or whatever, and it takes forever. You know what? I don't think really anybody's using it anymore. I don't know. I don't go to too many websites where it's like, oh, hold on, we've got to crank up this Java thing. I mean, it's weird. You even go to, like, CNN.com or USAtoday.com, whatever, news sites, and they've even, like, picked up on it. You know, you see, oh, look, here's a little Flash thing that's showing the news today. So I think when you see things like that, I mean, actually, I think it was, like, 3-4 years ago, if you went to, you know, Disney.com, their whole website was Flash. I was just like, man, this is pretty cool, you know, because I think of them as kind of being, like, they're creative, but they'll hold off on, like, the new technology like that a little bit. So, you know, like I said, here to stay.
So how did you get the idea for CartoonSmart?
Somebody emailed me, and they said they'd seen my freelance website, and that's what I was doing for about 2 to 3 years, just making Flash pieces for people and just doing Flash animation. I come from an animation background, so it's a little bit different than, you know, like the obnoxious Flash intros you see. I can actually draw and illustrate and do all that stuff. So, you know, the site just, it got a decent amount of just people stopping by, you know, like a little bit more above average. So you get some random people to it, and they go, oh, yeah, that's a cool website. And so this one girl, and she really, truly inspired it. She just said, you know what, I would pay you to teach me how to do this. And that light bulb went on, and that was kind of it. So I actually owe that girl a lot.
So you said you have a background in Flash. What exactly is that background?
I went to school at the School of Visual Arts in Manhattan. So I studied actually computer art, computer animation, 3D, all that sort of stuff, but I never did anything with Flash up until my senior year of college. And a buddy of mine just said, you know what, I've been working for this place doing illustrations and they need an animator. So I go to the job interview and you know, they're like looking at my stuff and it was all 3D. And they basically just turned me right down for it. They said, you know what, we have no need for a 3D animator. We want to get into this Flash thing. And I'd never used it. So I just said to the guy, you know what, give me like 48 hours. I'll get a copy of the program. I'll come back in and just show you what I got. And so that was it. I just kind of learned it overnight. This was Flash 4, so this was four versions ago. And there wasn't, coming from like a 3D background where there's just like upteen zillion tools, I was pretty comfortable just learning it all overnight, and I made just the most embarrassing animation. For a job interview, you know, you think, oh, okay, do something kind of serious. No, it ended up being like some hamster that had to take a poop and was just running around pestering other animals to, like, get out of the way, like, hide behind a bush, and then he'd get kicked out of the bush because some snake was in there. I mean, it was just terrible. I can't believe it. And a friend of mine says he still got it on his computer, and one of these days he's gonna release it to the world. That's pretty bad.
Oh, dear. So does being able to draw well on paper convert over to being able to draw well in Flash?
You know what? I'll be bold here, and I'll say no. Because I'm actually not that good on paper. I used to be a few years ago. And when I was in college, I felt like I was fairly comfortable with it. I just can't do it anymore, and I don't know what it is. I've just lost this ability to draw on paper. But the way you draw on Flash is so different, and actually new users to the program will try to get in there, and they'll try to use like the paint tool and the tools they would regularly use in another graphic illustration program. But at least the methods that I draw on Flash, you basically kind of like sculpt out things with, either the circle or the square. So when you break it down like that, it becomes almost like a procedural method. It's just sort of like, okay, you've got a square. Now, you know, bend it into this shape. Or if you're tracing over something, it's really easy because even someone that doesn't draw can just sort of go, well, you know what, actually, I can do this. All I'm going to do is I'm going to take this point of the square, move it over here, align this one over here. And I've seen I've trained some adults that just couldn't draw at all. They showed me some stuff beforehand. And then these are people that are, like, doing these insane, like, perfect technical illustrations of cars they had traced over and all this stuff. And I'm kind of just going, oh, man, that's better than what I taught in the lesson. You know? Yeah.
Cool. So when you draw something on Flash, do you visualize it in your head before you create it?
You know, I rarely ever even sketch anything out on paper. I do have some links to a few drawings posted up on one of my websites, and it's kind of meant to just show how horrible they are because I just can't do it anymore. So yeah, when I draw into Flash, I just kind of jump right into it, and you know, I'm used to that method, and I think it takes new illustrators a little bit of time. Like I taught some a few guys that were kind of already established drawing comics for like Marvel and things like that, and they had trouble kind of embracing it because you take their pencil away, they kind of don't know what to do. But you know, even these guys, they were starting to embrace it. They definitely were doing work that was of their usual quality, and it took them a little while to get there. But you know, when they did, they were telling me, yeah, this is, I can feel it. I can see that, you know, given like another month or so, I'll really be able to fly with it. And that's just kind of where I am. You know, you draw the same eye shape a few times in Flash, you got it. You know how you're doing. You just kind of roll.
Well, when I saw you, you showed me one of your videos for drawing a caricature, and you were drawing Bill Clinton, and you kind of started out with a circle, or a square, mm-hmm. rather,
right.
And you made it kind of into this, and the first step was just kind of making it into this kind of what looked to me like a blob.
Right, yeah.
But it was just this black blob, and then at the very end, when I saw your caricature of him, you know, it was clear, you know, why you were starting off with that kind of black blob, because it was actually the outline of the whole face.
Right.
But, you know, I'm not a very good drawer myself. I have a little trouble. So you know, I wasn't able to see any means how you were going to go from this blob to the Bill Clinton caricature that you wanted. How were you able to do that?
In the video, I'm sure you saw, I actually had a picture of Clinton side by side. So I can kind of look at something. And that was actually a caricature course, so there was a bit of, okay, we're going to exaggerate things out a little bit. So it wasn't like a total traceover. And, you know, I think that's one of those intuitive things that it does take a little bit of time. And I'll get emails from people that will say, okay, if I get your course, you know, how quickly can I ramp up to being an awesome illustrator and doing caricatures? And, you know, I can teach you all the tools, and I can teach you some very cool techniques and shortcuts, but there is that just thing that you have to practice. You know, it's going to take you 20 hours or so to really get the mind of an illustrator and going, oh, okay, this is, Clinton's got a big chin, so let's put that in there. What's funny about that lesson is a few high school students will take it, and then they'll end up drawing their friends. And all their friends have big chins because they think they thought that, oh, okay, you know, you did it for Clinton, so everybody's got to have a big chin. In fact, somebody emailed me yesterday. They sent me a picture of their buddy, and then there are two versions. One had this big chin, and the other one didn't. I said, it's kind of obvious. Your buddy doesn't have a chin like that, so take it off. He goes, oh, yeah, okay.
So do you think that this animation talent is something that you're born with, or can anybody get it?
Oh, no, no. You know what? This is probably the best thing anybody ever said to me is my high school art teacher, and he pulled me aside one day in class. I'm sure I was acting kind of cocky because I was, like, you know, like better than most of the kids in the class at art. And he just said, you know what, Justin, you are talented, but you're not gifted. And that always stuck with me because, it's really true. There is a big difference between talent and just having a natural gift. And I think talent you can teach. I think you can practice. You can become more talented. But, gifted is like kids that can play the piano at the age of 3. But, yeah, I mean, I do try to actually teach talent. And that's kind of like really where all the tutorials are at. It's not about, this tool does this and this tool does that, because, you know, that's kind of like monkey teaching. I feel like I could teach a monkey to make a circle in Flash. But, you know, where my focus is to just basically start with a blank canvas. And you're working toward an overall project. You're not trying to just, okay, well, there you go. You made your circle. Now delete it and put a square down. Now I want you to do everything. I want you to make the face and kind of learn within that, okay, yeah, here's what makes a good caricature. Or, you know, here's what makes a good sort of cool-looking car. So everybody has to get something done at the end of the lesson.
So how have your students done after they completed your courses?
Oh, man, absolutely incredible. It's been thousands of students now, and each of them have gone on and done, I don't know. Well, you know, obviously I don't know exactly what all of them are doing, but I did get an email from a guy today. Let's see if I can bring that up. He's been pitching a show to, well, a few different places, and I think his latest stop has been for that new channel that's like the video game one, G4. So he's been talking with them, but, you know, it's pretty amazing. The guy took some of the courses, and he had just kind of two characters in mind, kind of Beavis and Butt-Heady type, but he really hadn't fleshed out anything more than that. So he took, like, the lip-syncing course, which just teaches you, okay, if you get some audio in there, here's some fast techniques to just, you know, roll through about 3 minutes of dialogue. And, he started doing that. He's done three kind of, like, five-minute shows. Which have been received really well. Oh, the name of it is Broke and Lonely. So who knows? We could see this guy. He could be the next Matt Groening. And I've told him I just want to guest direct one show if you become famous. So I think I am going to end up teaching, like, the people that become the next big whoever. But which is kind of a weird thought because I'll still be here, not really doing anything in my office.
So were most of your students beginners when they started taking your course?
Yeah, I think most of them have kind of gotten burned out a little bit on the book learning. You know, I'm definitely not someone that can learn from a book. So, you know, they're stretching out a little bit, and they're looking through the internet, they're Googling for things like Flash tutorials, and conveniently they find me. But yeah, I think definitely all of them are beginners. I mean, I really don't have any business teaching someone that's, you know, certainly an advanced user, And but you know, I get some intermediate people that said, you know what, yeah, I tried it like a couple years ago. I learned a fair amount.
You're listening to Citywide on WNYU 89.1 FM New York. I'm Darren Levy, and I'm talking with Justin at Cartoon Smart, who is a Flash teacher. What do you enjoy most about being a Flash animator?
Well, you know, it's funny you would ask that, because I'm not really a big fan of the actual animation aspect to it. I love drawing. But, you know, if you were just to say to me, Justin, you have to get this 2 minutes of animation done by tomorrow, I'm going to not be too happy about it, you know? So, I mean, I like doing, like, short bits. Like, for the website, certainly, you know, there's a lot of people that pop in and things like that. So, you know, animation that's 2-3 seconds long, I'll definitely tackle. But, I don't know. I like telling people what to do. I was the animation director at Studio Manhattan, and... And that was better. You can at least kind of say, okay, we'll do this, do that, and maybe fix it up a little bit afterwards for him. But that's kind of where that's at.
What's the most difficult part about being a Flash animator?
Well, I guess it's mostly just kind of where you're going to find work with it. And obviously you have, quite a few routes there. You can go and you can look for a Flash animation studio, which there's not a ton of those. There's more web development studios. So, you know, even here in, like, kind of small-town Athens, Georgia, you can walk down the street and you can find a web development place. So, you know, you can roll in there and you can kind of show off, hey, look, I have some character animation, but I can also do, like, regular Flash animation, just bringing in text and things like that. So you can go that route, or obviously anybody can try to just, sling animation work from home, which... isn't that bad. I did it for about 2.5 to 3 years, just working from the house. I just quit my job one day. I didn't like it. And actually, my boss went kind of nuts after 9/11. Just turned into this real paranoid guy. And it just kind of drove us all crazy. So I just said, you know what, I'm gonna try it from home. I'd done a few freelance jobs, worked for Lego for a little bit. And you know, that kind of made me feel like, okay, I can do this. I can at least give it a shot. And I just kind of knew enough people early on that kind of needed the website done. But when I was fully employed, I just said, now, you know, I got too much on my plate. I can't do it. And then suddenly when you don't have a job, you're going to the same people going, you know, I can cut you a really good deal on making your website. So.
Well, I see you have a whole section of audio tips on your website. Would you be able to share some of those for our listeners?
Oh, yeah. That website is it's basementcollege.com. So of course there's just hours worth up there. But you know what? Best tips. I think you gotta be just kind of creative with getting yourself out there. If you are gonna try to freelance from home, you know, it's not the easiest thing in the world, and you don't always have a big advertising budget. You know, not everybody can sink money into Google because there's a lot of people doing it. So, you know, to pay a dollar a click or whatever, it can get kind of pricey. So, yeah, you got to think outside of the box a little bit. One thing I noticed recently was that, you know, if you're driving around, you will see, you know, the plumber is driving around in a truck that says plumber on the side. But you rarely see anybody driving around that says web developer on the side of it. And, of course, people are going, oh, I want my car to, you know, have a big thing on it. But, you know, it can just be a bumper sticker or something like that that gets you out there over there on that level. I think even just if you're a graphic designer, just tell people, you know, just put it on, you know, the back of your car. I'm a graphic designer. I can draw. And, I mean, it sounds kind of cheesy, but, you know, if you look on the street, everybody's wearing a T-shirt with an advertisement that's usually not advertising themselves. So, you know, I kind of feel like if I'm going to wear anything with a logo on it, it's going to be about me. It's going to, you know, and it doesn't have to be, I don't know, Justin's web development. It could be a drawing that I've done that I think looks cool, so I'll pop it on a shirt, and if somebody comments on it, well, there you go. That's kind of your in for saying, yeah, you know what, actually I'm a illustrator.
Yeah, right. Does Tommy Hilfiger wear a shirt that has my name on it?
Yeah, exactly. You know what the one? It's the basketball players that always kind of like. You'll see a guy wearing like a Shaq shirt. You just go on, like, come on, Shaquille doesn't need you wearing that, you know.
Well, that's definitely a great tip. And I know that you went to school here in New York. How has New York helped you as an artist?
Oh, how has New York helped me? Well, I definitely don't feel like I'd be doing what I'm doing today if I hadn't gone to the School of Visual Arts. Big plug for them. And I mean, I can't say it's like all the school, but it's the surroundings around the school. It's the New York wrapper of that environment. And, you know, it's just like it's the people you meet. It's, you know, it's the cosmopolitan. And you know what? It's weird to say, like, oh, yeah, you got to be crazy all those 4 years to find a job. Because really what ends up happening is it's always some little weird thing that comes along where you get that, you know, that job. Like the friend of mine that said, hey, yeah, there's some work over here. But you know what? I mean, if I was living here, if I'd gone to school, like, say, the University of Georgia or something like that, I don't know if any of the same opportunities would have necessarily opened up. And this is an awesome town. I love it. Big props to the school. It's a great school. But, you know, there's, you know, up in New York, there's actual animation studios. There's all these different companies. And certainly, if you're a Flash animator, you can go to a lot of different places. I mean, you can almost walk into any company and be like, hey, look, I can make all your Excel or PowerPoint presentations a billion times better. They're going to go, oh, yeah, you're hired. So it's New York's got that hustle and bustle. It's you know, I was living 23rd Street, and it just the street never shuts up, but in a good way. You kind of are always aware that, like, yeah, there's activity out there. So, you know, don't sleep in. You know, get out there and do something.
You ever come back to visit?
Oh, yeah. I got relatives up there, so I'm up twice a year, definitely.
Well, one thing that I found really interesting on your website was that you said, sometimes you'll have a problem, and you'll go and fix the problem, and then while you're fixing it, you'll learn things you didn't even think you would. Do you find that to be a common thing?
Oh, you know what? It's got to happen at least in every tutorial once, where just something goes wrong. And you know what? That's usually the best part about the lesson, because, you know, when the lesson stops and people start doing it on their own, they're going to make that same mistake, whatever it is. So to watch me kind of get, like, sidetrack and go, oh, no, you know, and I screwed up the code over here, or I don't like how that eye looks or whatever, so I'm just going to go back 10 steps. Yeah, people learn more by their mistakes than just by, like, the straight shot through the lesson. So, yeah, I don't edit anything out. And it's, you know, if it's an hour-long lesson, that's, you know, that's just me on screen for that hour. And we just take a ride and see where it goes. Occasionally, I guess I'll take, you know, I've messed up a few lessons where I've just had to flat out stop it because I couldn't figure out what I had done wrong. So there's times where, you know, that does occur. But, you know, for the most part, I do. I like it when craziness happens, and especially with the illustration and animation tutorials, because within that, it's not as bad if, you know, at least with the ones where you're doing, like, scripting and coding, and it's kind of annoying if, like, oh, your teacher doesn't really know, like, how to do this. But, you know, illustration is something that there's no playbook for it. So if you just kind of, like, don't like how something looks, well, yeah, fix it right there. Do it for people to see. Throw it out there.
Let's move on and talk a little bit about your comic strip. Could you tell us about The Mows?
Sure. Oh, and you pronounced it correctly. That's really cool. even my parents still have problems sometimes. They'll say The Mows. The Mao just kind of comes from the sound a cat makes, meow, but you just take out the E part. And we have one cat that just kind of makes that noise, meow, like that. So that's how it started. And you know what? I just started drawing a few years back just because I love my cats. And I was like, all right, these are kind of fun. I got some free time today. And it was like one of those just moments where that light beam came down from the sky, and I just drew three excellent drawings, and I just kind of, like, let them sit on my desktop. I put them on the desktop background, and they stayed there for about a year before I actually did anything other than just, you know, the one illustration of it. And I just, and you know, when you live with cats, you get inside their brain. You just start sort of thinking, like, hey, why did you mess with my tail, you know? And you kind of, like, have this whole dialogue going along for them, even though they're so brain dead, like, 90% of the time. But so it's fun to kind of just imagine, yeah, this is their world. And you know what I try to do in the comic strip is is have them exist in a very kind of strict cat world where, you know, they don't know anything about politics. They don't know anything beyond the yard that is their turf. And within that kind of microcosm are the weird sort of, you know, what do they think the door flap that they go in and out of actually is? Because they probably don't read it as a door flap. It's some sort of head-banging thing, that annoyance or whatever, a scruff cleaner. So it just kind of puts a little twist on the cat world.
So what are the steps for you from beginning to end when creating a comic strip?
Well, you know what? I used to pencil it out on good days or good weeks when I feel like I have some time. Like in bed, I'll try to, you know, just, and I won't even really sketch out the cartoon. I'll just kind of just sketch out words here, you know, big circle representing head here, and I'll play it out through that. But you know what? I work so fast in Flash. I just kind of, now that's my palette. That's where I work it, and it's, you know, it's one of those things where you can think of where you're going to end up. So if you're in panel one, you can kind of have an idea of, like, oh, this will be funny in panel four, but by the time you get there, it's never funny anymore. So, and I've heard on commentaries for The Simpsons, the writers always talk about this, that they'll throw something around in their writer's room, and then, like, after they've told everybody the joke, and 2-3 weeks later, it's just kind of like, you know what, it's old now. It's just not that funny. So it always ends up happening like that. So I'll get done with the strip, I'll just be like, you know what, I don't feel like launching this. And so I'll go back and I'll rework it. It's kind of frustrating because I do try to do it every day, and I try to limit the amount of time I put into it. Like about an hour, I think, is reasonable. You know, I put a CD on and just let it flow out. But when it doesn't flow, it's such a pain. I could sit there and just look at a strip for 3 hours and just going, I don't know what I've written myself into a corner here. I'm at panel four. I don't know what to do. But it's good. You know, I think it's kind of like it's a mental exercise, and I'd recommend it for anybody. It kind of gets your brain just working, and I usually do the strip in the morning time, which is kind of annoying because I don't really have a regular, like, at 8 o'clock, you can't expect me to post anything up. It could be any time from, like, 8 o'clock to, like, 2 o'clock. But it's a good way to wake up, to just kind of like, all right, well, we got to be funny. And that's tough. It's like looking at nothing and going, all right, I'm going to make something funny out of this. Yeah.
Well, it looks like we're going to have to wrap up soon, but before we do, what advice do you have for someone who wants to become a professional Flash animator?
Ooh, so much advice here. Well, yeah, there's a lot on that. Check out basementcollege.com. I have quite a few tips, but you know what? The best one is I think it's just to get good at moving people around. Anybody can move text across the screen. Anybody can make their logo rotate up. But as soon as you start showing somebody, like, oh, look, here was a static image, and now I've actually given it some sort of personality, some sort of life, that's when whoever you show it to, be it your parents or your friends or somebody that's a prospective employer, they're going to go, oh, wow, I get it now. You know, that actually looks really cool. Can you do that with my website? You know, and it's, I think we're living in good times right now. It's great to be working in that program because there's a lot of bad websites out there, and it's kind of easy, too, to go to an employer and kind of, you know, wax their ego on how good you can make something on their website, how vivid and bright and how much better. And they kind of go, yeah, you're hired. Let's do it.
Well, that's some great advice. Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me. Anytime, I'd love to come back, and I'd love to be on your podcast section, too.
If you'd like more information about Justin Dykes' Flash animation courses, you can visit his website at www.cartoonsmart.com. That's cartoonsmart.com. That's it for Citywide. I'm Darren Levy. You can email your comments about today's show to citywide@wnyu.org. Visit Citywide on the web at wnyu.org/citywide. We'll be back next week with more arts talk, but for now, keep it here on New York University Radio, because up next is experimental acoustic music with Crumb Show on Outside. Thanks so much for tuning in, and from everyone here at WNYU News, have a great night.